I am here with Shiggy Otis. We're doing a phone interview. Shiggy is going to be playing Saturday night at the Rialto Theater in an all-ages show Saturday, June 6th, coming up this week. Hello, thank you, and welcome to KXCI Community Radio 91.3.
Hi. Oh, pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much. You started playing at a very young age. How old were you when you first started playing?
Oh, 12 years old. We played on a gig. I played bass on a gig with my father, the first job I ever played. I was supposed to play guitar, but the bass player didn't show up. So we picked up a bass, and then I played bass the whole night. Worked out really nice. From then on, it took a little while to join the group. I was in the group, I guess, when I was 13, and I would play the weekends with them at clubs in Santa Ana and Montebello.
That's pretty amazing. You know, I heard these stories that you had to paint a mustache on. Is that true or not?
No, I never painted a mustache on. That was a little fib. That was, I did wear the dark glasses, though. It was, a little joke, but wore the dark glasses.
Yeah,
that was something that an idea that my dad came up with.
That's pretty amazing, because I looked at pictures of you when I read that you were playing at 13, 14, 15 in clubs, but you looked fairly mature for your age.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, then I guess I could pass for 21. At least I thought I could with the dark glasses. And no one ever bothered me. No one ever said anything at the nightclub, ever. So I got away with it.
That's amazing. That's amazing. You know, so you put out your first, was your first album the one Al Kooper introduces Shiggy Otis?
No, that wasn't the first album. That may have been the second album that I was on, or the third. The first one was with my father. It was called Cold Shot. It was the blues album.
Okay.
And it featured me and Delmar Evans, my dad, and a few other people.
And how old were you then?
I was 14 when we did that.
Wow. So between the age of 14 and 21, you put out how many albums?
Oh, it wasn't that many. Maybe a few.
Like four or five, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. You know, Inspiration Information was the last album you put out at the end of that, and you spent 3 years recording that. And, you know, we started out this, at the beginning of this, we were playing Strawberry Letter 23, which was covered by the Brothers Johnson, which was a number one hit R&B, and that song was like the number 18th most sampled song ever. And Questlove says of you, he's the unsung hero of blues and funk. His music is so potent that it only bloomed 30 years later. How do you feel about that?
I think it's really a great statement that he made. I don't know. I just prefer not to think about it too much, I guess, right now. I think it's really fantastic what happened.
I'm just wondering, like, how you feel. I mean, that album's called Inspiration Information, but there was a lot of misinformation put out about you over the years, and now you're out there, you're playing your music, you're thrilled to be doing it. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I'm just happy to be out there again, really. I'm really looking forward to the tour. It's incredible what happened, I guess, because, you know, people get older and they might lose their inspiration or their drive or something. But I'm just really excited about being able to go out again. I don't know if I'm answering your questions right.
Oh, that's perfect. No.
Yeah.
Is this still part of the never-ending world tour, or are you calling this tour something different?
Well, yeah, I called it that a couple of years ago, and pretty much, you know, that's what it is, I guess. With music, it's never-ending, so I was just trying to make a play on words, but when you look at it, reality, that's pretty much what it is. You know, if you want to, you may not be on the road forever. It's not a, you know, physically, but music is going on all the time, just like life is, you know?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So it's a never-ending thing, really. I mean, I was trying to sound clever, but there's some truth to it, you know? Whether I'm on stage or not, the tour is still going on. It's a great idea. but the music is still going on, you know? It's just going on all the time, whether I'm playing it or not, or somebody else is playing it. But my tour, well, I the way I look at it, yeah, I would like to stay on tour for the rest of my life. In reality, that's what I want to do. I just want to stay busy now in music. And whatever the past was the past. And we don't have, even have to think about the past, you know, because that can be, that can hold you back, you know.
Yeah.
So it's music, you know, writers and musicians, they want to, they're striving to be good and great, you know, and it gets to be kind of tough when you're trying to be good and great. So you have to, I don't know, you just have to pace yourself, as everybody says, pace yourself, you know, take your time. Well, take your time, you know, you take your time with music. When you're writing it, you want it to be good. If you write a good song, you want it to be good, so you take your time with it. And sometimes I'll write a song, I'll be writing it for days, and then come around to record it. For instance, I did this recently. When I started to record it, the words, I decided to not even refer to all those pages and pages of words that I've written. Rather, I just started writing words on the spot, and then I finished the song that way without even referring to the pages. I said, well, you know, I'm not even going to refer to those pages right now. I thought about it, and I said, no, I'm just going to keep going with what I'm doing while I'm recording. So there's all kind of little different things that happen when you write, and then when you get ready to record. You know, if you're really serious about a piece, you want to get it right as good as you can with the music and the words, and then you start on it. Then you start changing it again. As soon as I turn on a recorder, the ideas start changing. They just start changing. And then other funny things happen where I will say, okay, I've done that song, maybe recorded a lot of it, and then a couple of days go by and I say, I don't even want to hear that song anymore. Mm-hmm. And I might feel that way for a while, and I'll bring it back, and then I would shelve it again, and then I would bring it back, and then get rid of it again and bring it back. It's kind of crazy. I've done that with almost a whole album of stuff that I'm working on. Now I've decided to keep the basic songs that I was getting rid of, and it's just a kind of a strange occurrence that goes on when you're writing.
It's your process.
Yeah, the process. You might feel really good about it at first and say, oh, yeah, these words are good, and, oh, I like the way it's coming out. And then you wake up the next morning and you say, oh, I don't like that. It doesn't work at all, you know. You say, oh, there's something missing there. And so if you're really serious about it, you know, and you have time, a few days to work it out, you work it out.
Do you record at home? Do you have a home studio now? Or
I do, and I've been doing that for years, but I'm getting ready to go into a studio in town and record, finish on an album that I'm working on for Cleopatra Records.
That's great
and
news.
Yeah, it's really great. I'm very excited about this and be in the studio again. It's been a long time.
That's great.
And it's actually my first record deal since 1974.
Well, congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Are you going to play any of this new music on your new tour? Like, will we hear any of this? Oh, not yet. Not yet.
Not
this Saturday, then.
Not Saturday. No, we're going to play some of the oldies and some of the, well, they're relatively not really new, but they're new to the public.
Awesome.
And so we're going to play some of that stuff. Yeah, and it's working out real great. I got a good band.
Who's in your band? Can you talk about it?
I have my brother Nick Otis, and I have Paul Lamb on the bass, Ed Roth keyboards, and Albert Wing tenor saxophone, and myself. Five pieces, and it's different for me. I had a bigger band a couple of years ago, and now it's nice. I like it. It's really nice. Great. It's working out really, really great. Getting a good reaction.
Well, great. We are so looking forward to seeing you here in town. Shiggy Otis here, performing at the Rialto on June 6th, this Saturday, early show, all ages. Doors open at 7:30. And thank you so much for talking with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay.
My pleasure. Okay, Cicely. Thank you very much for having me.